Hey, good morning. It's Pastor Justin Krupski from Trinity Utica. I'm in my backyard. Thank you for joining us with some online worship that's actually snowing. I think you might know what day of the week it is right now as we record for our service online this week. But I just want to welcome you. We're so excited you've chosen to worship with us. We are pumped to be with you, and we're pumped because we know God's going to meet you where you are as we open up His Word together and sing songs from our faith and through our faith in Jesus, the resurrected one. Because He lives, right, we can face tomorrow. We can make it through this, right? God hasn't changed. The gospel hasn't changed. And our mission hasn't changed. I do want to share a couple things with you as we begin our time. I know nothing is ideal today in our world as we live through this pandemic. And at Trinity, we are doing our best to respect the government and leadership above us. And so we're going to continue to stay safe. In the last week, we took a lot of risks with going outside of our sanctuary and our facility with a lot of recordings. But this week and the rest of this month, we're going to continue to lead from our homes as you are also in your home. And I know we all realize, right, again, nothing's ideal, but we realize even a bigger truth that the church is a people, right? It's not a place. Certainly we understand completely that the place at Trinity, the space, right, where we do worship when we get together, right, is an amazing space. But right now you're in your homes, we're going to continue to be in our homes, even with our animals and our pets in the backyard. I also want to mention today in worship, Pastor Chris Troxel, our Christian growth pastor, is going to join us for a time, and Pastor Chad, our Christian care counseling pastor, is going to help lead us through worship. My daughter Chloe is actually going to help us a little bit too, but we are excited. And Psalm 40 talks about in the midst of the pit, how God put a new song in the psalmist's heart. And I do believe, right, all the songs that we're doing, whether the midweek, more traditional service that we have online right now, or even today, a lot of these songs are new for a lot of us. Two of the songs today are actually new for all of us. One is an old school hymn. And so I don't know what background you come in with worship style preference, but again, right, this worship style is not an ideal worship style for anybody. But we're going to stay scriptural. We're going to have songs of our faith, and we're going to have a message from our faith. We're going to pray. We're going to profess our faith. We're going to confess sins. We're going to read the scriptures. And so worship, right? We're worshiping God. And certainly we are going to begin, right, in the name in which we are baptized. If you haven't been baptized, get baptized. If you believe in Jesus, that's just what we do. There's a lot of truth to baptism. But when you're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to begin living in the promise and the truth of our baptism and respecting who it is we are about to worship. And that is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The resurrected one, Jesus. And so we are excited that you are here with us, and we pray that this service would bless you. As we begin our time, we're going to take it to Chloe, my little daughter, inside the house. She's going to read a scripture that reminds us all, or maybe tells you the first time. We know the secret, and the secret is Jesus. And you can search the world, but the answer is always going to be Jesus. And the great song, a new song that actually came to me about a week ago, called Graves in the Gardens. And I just pray that you can let that be sung over you. If you want to join in singing that new song, go for it. Again, you can record this or rewind this, and you can share this with your friends. And so welcome to worship. Let's take it to Chloe, and let's begin our time.
Welcome to worship, Philippians chapter 4. For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Jesus who strengthens me.
Search the world, but couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. And you came along and put me back together. desires now satisfied. Nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. I'm not afraid to show you my eyes, Lord, you've seen them all. Call me friend, 'cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place where mercy and grace will find me again.
Hebrews chapter 6, the beginning of verse 19 says, we have this hope. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, a hope that makes us firm and secure, an anchor that gives us a foundation. And that hope is Jesus, the one who gives us renewal, the one who turns graves into gardens, the resurrected one. And Jesus, he is the risen one, crucified, but risen again. He is the anchor for our souls, the hope not just of us, but the hope of this world. So it's good to be with you all as we begin a new sermon series. We're going to go 6 weeks in a sermon series called Anchored. There's a lot of truths that we could talk about with being anchored, but we want to begin just being anchored in the person of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. And certainly when I think of anchor, I think of fishing, but we're not going to talk about fishing. What I want to talk about as we think about being anchored and then ultimately freedom when we're anchored is a man named Bear Grylls. He has a show called Running Wild with Bear Grylls. I don't know how many of you have seen it, but he brings celebrities on there and they do some crazy adventures. Just the other day, my family and I were watching Bear Grylls, Running Wild with Bear Grylls, with a man named Dave Bautista. Dave Bautista used to be a wrestler, and now he plays the character Drax for Guardians of the Galaxy in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But as they were getting ready to jump off a cliff, right, roped in, right, they had to find an anchor. They had to find an anchor. I'm not a mountain climber, but I love the show, and I see the different things that they anchor into, and it always seems to be questionable. Dave Bautista, as they saw this rock, as they were about to go 200 feet down straight from a cliff, right, an inclined cliff, just strapped onto a rope, and this rope needed to be anchored into something. They found a rock, and the rock seemed questionable. Right, but yet, the rock wasn't questionable, and Bear Grylls reminded them, listen, we're good. And once he realized, right, they had a firm anchor, all of a sudden there was freedom to go down hundreds of feet. Right, when we find the right anchor, and that anchor is Jesus, the resurrected one, right, there is freedom. There is freedom. And so what I want to do today is talk about freedom, and let's look at some scriptures that speak about freedom. We're going to start in the gospel, John's gospel, about Jesus, the resurrected one, in John chapter 8. We're going to go right there, verse 24. Here's what John says. That Jesus said, I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe in me. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe in me, if you do not trust me. Right? It's my work, not your work. Trust me and you won't die in your sins. And then Jesus continues to say, to the ones who believe in me, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth. And finish this with me if you know it. And the truth will set you free. If you hold to my teachings, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Right? The person of Jesus, his words. In verse 34 in John chapter 8, it says, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Right? There's not freedom there. And then he says, now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. And certainly Jesus was without sin, but even more than that, not just that he was the Son of God, but you and I are sons and daughters of the Most High King, and I hope that you know that. And so Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, that's him, you will be free indeed. Free indeed. Right? I'm in my backyard. Right? There's freedom getting outside of the house. I just pray that you and I can experience freedom today from these teachings of Jesus, the resurrected one. And so the first disciples heard what Jesus said. They saw what he did. They met the resurrected one. And in Galatians chapter 5, it says, It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Stand firm then in this freedom, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. By the yoke of slavery. Verse 13 and 14 says, you, my brothers, you, my sisters, were called to be free. You're called to be free, right? It's not by works. Don't make it about your works. Don't make it about the law, so to speak. It's not about that. It's about the work of Jesus. You were called to be free, standing in and on the rock, the anchor of Jesus. But do not use your freedom. Do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. And then Jesus said this, and so his disciples said this. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Right? Love your neighbor as yourselves. Right? And so as we read these scriptures together about freedom, I want to read an Old Testament scripture about freedom. And this is actually the beginning of what we call the Ten Commandments, where God says, remember in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, remember, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Right, so where do we go with this? What was Jesus saying? Right, I heard him say very clearly, if you hold to my teachings, then you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Right, and there's some teachings that Jesus expounded on. Expounded on in the Sermon on the Mount. I encourage you to read the Gospel of Matthew 5 through 8. I encourage you to read the New Testament, because the first disciples, because Jesus himself expounded on these Ten Commandments, these teachings of God Almighty, the Word of God made flesh in Jesus. And so what I want to do is look at these freedom truths, so to speak, these commandments that many of us are familiar with today. And as we dwell into the teachings of Jesus, into these commands from God Almighty, right, ancient commands given to his children after he sets them free, wanting them to continue to live in freedom, not in bondage anymore, right, desiring them to live life to the fullest, right, freed. Right, as I think about these commands from God, the teachings of Jesus, the one thing that I know is true, first and foremost, is that they flow out of the freedom that he has won for us. Right, for me, right, I hear that word from God in Exodus chapter 20. I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I'm reminded that God is the Lord my God who brought me out of the land of slavery by the death and resurrection of Jesus. Right? And that slavery was my sin, right? And the fear of death, right? The devil, he set me free. And he set you free. So these flow out of freedom. The other thing is that they keep us in freedom. They keep us in freedom. I think about my backyard, right? I got a fence back here. There's an invisible fence. My dogs might not feel free. I got two retrievers. There's an invisible fence. Are they free? Right? For me as a homeowner, yes, they're free to run around, and I love it. They don't have to worry about them, right? But for them, they're not complaining, right? They have a huge backyard, right? My kids have a big backyard, right? They're not complaining. There's freedom within the fenced-in backyard, and there's freedom within these commands of God. The other thing I would say is this, is that God desires us to keep these commands so that we don't become enslaved to sin. Right? The book of James says, yeah, you're going to sin, but get this, repent of it so that you don't get stuck in it, and that it ultimately leads to death. Right? That's not what God desires. It's not what we want. Right? Jesus came to give us life, to give us freedom. And so, yes, there's always a call to repent as we look at these, but that repentance, right, the mirror, so to speak, as we see our sin, right, keeps us living in the freedom so that we don't get stuck in the bondage of what Satan desires to do to us within our sinful nature. Right? So there is freedom all around these words. And so I think you're familiar with these words. If you're not, I encourage you to read Exodus chapter 20 and also, again, the Sermon on the Mount. But the first word after I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, right, is have no other gods before me. Have no other gods before me. Right? There's so much freedom when we keep him first. Jesus said, right, seek first the kingdom of God. Put him first. Right? And all these things will be given to you. Right? There's freedom. I think about how easy it is to have idols. They have other gods before the true God, little g's. I think in this time, certainly many of us are reevaluating our priorities. And as I think about priorities, oftentimes those priorities become gods. Right, become idols. And the truth about idols is that they are empty and that they let us down. I think about as a dad of four kids how busy we were with sports, and certainly there's redeemable aspects of sports with learning how to be a good teammate, learning how to work hard, learning how to go past failures and continue to push, right? Winning, losing, right? There's all these aspects of life through sports. So they're not bad, but oftentimes for many of us in this time, I think as parents we realize, right, were we making sports an idol or not? I think about ESPN for myself, how often I was watching that to see what was actually going on. I'm not watching it at all right now. Certainly I can revisit old school sporting events, but it's like it's not even a priority for me. And I also think on a deeper level, right? I think oftentimes in a marriage relationship, we make our spouse into an idol. Right? And when we do that, there's danger everywhere because our spouses don't complete us, right? Jesus in the Gospel of John as an encounter with a woman at the well, right, who seemed to think that a man could actually fulfill her, marriage could actually fulfill her, but then Jesus ends up saying, right, I am the one, I am the bucket, I am the well, only I can satisfy you. I have no other gods before me. Right? When we live in this truth, right, there's freedom. Don't misuse the name of the Lord your God. Right? Jesus says with this command, right, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Right, just be a person of your word. Don't manipulate people by trying to bring your faith into it. Just let your yes be yes and your no be no. And certainly if we want to expound on that command, right, and Jesus says a lot about our words and choosing our words wisely, and the rest of the scriptures do, right? But our words can enslave us, right? But there's freedom when we speak the truth. There's freedom when we just let our yes be yes and our no be no. Right? Another command, right? Remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath, right? Teachings from Jesus, not just old school, but new school. Right? Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And I think a lot of us were longing, right, to come to the assembly of believers into a building, right? But we're not able to do that right now. Right? Remember the Sabbath day, right? Jesus says Sabbath was made for man, not for God. And so there's a point of where we need to take a day off. Right? How many of us have been working and working and working? Right now, certainly a lot of us are working and working and working, but God has given us a gift, and that's called the Sabbath. Take a day off. Take a day off, and maybe what's happening right now is God's given us a huge Sabbath rest because we haven't been. Right? And again, certainly part of the Sabbath is a sacred assembly of believers. Right? In the book of Hebrews, it says, don't get in the bad habit of not meeting together as some are doing. And so we don't want to get in that bad habit. That's why we're here right now meeting online. But certainly when we're able to do it again, we're going to be getting back together. Right? There's something so rich about the Sabbath and just receiving peace and understanding. Right? It comes from Jesus, knowing that He is God, I am not. Right? There's freedom there. Right? The next command, right? Honor your father and your mother. Right? And certainly in this time, we realize for kids, if you're watching this, right, there's so much freedom when you actually behave yourselves, when you listen to your mom and dad. You don't get timeouts, you don't get in trouble. Right? But even more so for us adult children. Right? We have adult parents, a lot of us, that are still living. Right? And we want to honor them, and we love them, and we miss them, we care about them, we don't want them to get sick. But even more than that, honor your father and mother talks about authority. Right? And so you and I get an opportunity right now to submit to the authority that God has put above us, right? So that there can be freedom, so that we can love our neighbors. Right? Think about that. Right? God calls us to honor authority, and there's freedom there, even though it might not feel like I want to go fishing, but I can't. Right? There's freedom there. There's freedom. The next command, right? Don't murder. Don't murder. And Jesus expounds on that and says, right, if there's unforgiveness in your heart, right, you're murdering somebody. Right? This anger, this bitterness. Right? That's what murder is like. And so does that rob us when we don't forgive people? Absolutely, it robs us of life, of freedom. And so Jesus wants us to forgive each other. Right? There's freedom. We actually think we're hurting the other person when we don't forgive them. But who are we really hurting? We're hurting ourselves, right? We're putting ourselves in bonds, in slavery. Right? That we would forgive each other. Right? The commands continue. These teachings continue from God Almighty and Jesus Himself. Don't commit adultery. Don't commit adultery. Right, someone said this the other day as I was listening to WJR, how counselors have been predicting that there's going to be a huge divorce rate that comes from this pandemic. I pray that that doesn't happen. And we're doing everything we can. We're actually producing a marriage devotional for married couples that's going to be launched tomorrow. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Honor marriage. Right, and certainly sexual impurity, and the scriptures talk a lot about that, right? When we give in to that, right, enslaves us and it becomes an idol. We need to deal with that. And God wants us to live in the freedom and enjoy this gift that He made for a man and a woman in the sanctity of marriage. Right, the commandments continue, right? Don't steal. Don't steal. Right, what's that about? Right, in my mind, right, and Jesus talks about this and the scriptures talk about it, right? Sluggardness. They have a good work ethic. And a lot of us, right, we're not able to work right now. And what's going to happen when we get to work again? Right? We're going to work. And we're going to have a good work ethic. Right? We're not going to be a sluggard. If you want to read about sluggardness, read the book of Proverbs and what that does to us. The laziness, right? The lazy hands are devil's workshop. Right? There is life. There's life when we have a good work ethic. When we do everything we can to the glory of God, as the first disciples said, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a garbage man, whether you're a nurse, whether you're an engineer, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're a politician, right? We do everything we can to the glory of God, and we work hard. But again, we got the Sabbath day to take a day off. All right, let's continue. All right, the next commandment, don't slander. Don't slander. All right, what's that? It's spewing hurt, right? And again, hurt people hurt people. That's spewing lies, it's slandering, or just talking smack about somebody, that's judging somebody. And I think a lot of us in the social media world, right, we feel that we have the green light to talk smack, to slander people, and we don't know them. Right? Does that make you feel good? Does that make me feel good when I talk smack about somebody? Absolutely not. It doesn't. Right? And there's bondage there. I don't feel good. God knows, right? He doesn't want me to do that. He doesn't want me to go back into the land of slavery. Right? Talk kind. If you don't have anything good to say, what does Thumper say? Right? Then don't say anything at all. Right? Don't slander. And the commandments end with coveting. Coveting. Right? Is there life when we covet, when we have envy? Right? Envy rots the bones. Right? Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry. God's going to give you everything that you need. Right? Be content, Jesus says, with what God has given to you. Don't covet. The grass is not greener. Rejoice in what God has given to you. Be thankful. Right? Jesus said again, right, the entire law is summed up in this. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. And when we put God first, right, when we don't make bad oaths, right, don't misuse the name of the Lord, when we remember the Sabbath day, right, it might seem like we're loving ourselves and just loving God, but when we love God and we love ourselves, we actually love our neighbors, right? Then you honor your parents, then you honor marriage, then you don't steal, then you forgive, right? You don't murder, right? Then you don't covet, then you don't slander, right? Then you don't steal, right? There's so much freedom here. Freedom. Jesus said this at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Right? If you build your life on my teachings, on my word, right, you'll be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. When the winds came, and the winds have come, the storm is here, right? Your house will not fall. Right? There's freedom to know my house is not going to fall when I build my life on his teachings. Right? But if you don't build your life on my teachings, right, you're like a foolish man who built his house in the sand, and when the winds came, everything fell apart. So is there freedom in what we're talking about right now? Is there freedom in the teachings of Jesus? Some of you know my testimony. I'll share it again just for a few moments. As I was about the ages of 16 to 19, right, I didn't feel free in my relationship with God. I just felt bound. And I was not perfect. I'm still not perfect. But somehow, some way, right, the sins that were going on in my life, the ways I was disobeying these commandments, these teachings of Jesus, they were just eating me up to the core. And I kept believing that I wasn't good enough, and I was stuck in guilt and shame. And I had a hard time even repenting because I just knew I was going to do it again. And I just felt so weak, and I just remember, right, trying to go to church and going to church with my family or at chapel at the high school. Right? I just couldn't receive forgiveness from God. I felt no freedom. And what was happening there is I was making it about me, my work, and not Jesus' work. When I was 19, I heard the great parable that Jesus taught, the parable of the prodigal son, and I totally related to that teaching in that moment. But what I didn't understand and what I came to understand in that moment was it's really about the father, the prodigal father, right, who had compassion on his son and ran to his son, was always there for his son, who was longing for his son to know, his arms were always open, that the father loved his son just as he was, not as he should be. I wasn't free, and all of a sudden I was free. And I don't know where you are in your relationship with God, especially as you hear teachings from Jesus. I don't want you to feel the yoke. I don't want you to feel enslaved by our disobedience. I want you to feel enslaved by the love of Jesus. And when we're enslaved by the love of Jesus, there's freedom. Right? It's not our works, it's His works. But yet, right? There's a call to repent from these things that do enslave us. There's always a call to repent, and there's freedom in repentance, right? It's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. It's the freedom that leads us to repent. I'll say it this way. Right? I think a lot of times we go through life in our relationship with God like we're trying to make the team, or like we're scared we're going to get kicked off the team. But the reality of it is, you and I are on the team. We've been picked by Him, and our contract is signed, sealed, and delivered. There's no clause that gets us off the team. We are on the team. We're on the team. Right? And there's freedom to know that we are on the team. I love thinking that and just living in that truth. Right? Jesus has showed us that we are on the team. Right? So just deal with it. You're a son of God. He's not going to turn his back on you. Even when you're faithless, he's still faithful. You're daughter of the king. Right? He loves you no matter what. He's not a police officer trying to discipline you all the time. He's a coach cheering you on. Right? And so when it comes time to repent, right, of the way we're disobeying the teachings of Jesus, how we're falling back into slavery, right? And certainly repentance is just a one-time thing. It's a daily thing on this side of eternity. Right? I think of Psalm 139. Psalm 139, the psalmist says at the end, "Search me, O God, and test my heart. See if there's any anxious thought in me, any sin in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting life." Here's the prayer that Psalm 139 is guiding us in. Right? "Search me, O God. Search me, O God. And break me. Once you've searched me, break me of the things that aren't of you. Call me to repentance. Change my way of thinking. Change my behavior. And don't leave me there. Right? Fill me. Fill me with the measure of your love once again that's beyond measure. Fill me with the truth that I am free. And then mold me. Mold me. It's not about being perfect. It's about being perfectible. And then use me. Use me." Right? The Bible says, Jesus says, his disciples say, right, "Confess your sins," right? And he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins, right? We get to approach the throne of grace with confidence. We are set free, and let's get rid of these things. Let's get rid of these things. Let's continue to live out these teachings of Jesus, right? And I would say this, and here's where this teaching is coming from. I know we're 21 minutes in, we're almost done. In a time like this, when we are in a timeout, so to speak, I can't help but believe this, and I want to believe this, and I want to see God's glory and His kingdom come, and I'm seeing it. It's pretty amazing how God is working through everything going on. All right, but I do think revival begins with repentance. And whenever in a moment like this, right, it's not that God did this to call us to repentance. He's always calling us to repentance, but certainly this is a time to be introspective, to think deep, right, and look into our souls, right, and confess the things that are not of God, to let His teachings pierce our souls and break us in a good way. Right? Godly sorrow leads us to repentance, right, to let God search us and break us. Right, Matthew chapter 11, we're going to end with this. We're going to end with this freedom teaching from Jesus. He says this, "Come to me. Right, come to me. I'm the crucified. I'm the resurrected one. I'm the one who sets you free. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Right? But it doesn't stop there. Right? We're familiar with that. And that's why we're here. We're coming to Jesus, all who are weary and burdened, right? And He will give us rest. Lord, give us that rest. And He says this, "Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you." He's a rabbi. He's talking about His teaching. "Take my yoke upon you. Take my teaching upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." I love that. Jesus is humble and gentle in heart. And He says, "You will find rest for your souls. You will find peace," right? He is the anchor, His teachings, His commands. Right? The anchor for our soul. He says, "My yoke is easy. My teachings are easy. And my burden is light." I pray that as you and I move forward, that we can continue to live out this freedom that God has won for us in Jesus when He rose again from the dead. And I pray that as we begin this sermon series, that we will remember He is our anchor, He is our hope, and He is our firm foundation on which we stand. You and I, we have been set free. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now let's go to Pastor Chad's house.
We take this time now to give our offerings as we have received from God, so we freely give. It's part of our life as we follow His commands. You can continue to mail in your offerings, or if you go to trinityutica.com and go to the top right-hand part of the website, you'll see the Give tab. You can click on that tab. It'll bring up the website, or you can text 797979. As the Lord has given, we freely give. Now, having heard His word and having given our offering of thanks, we take time to also confess our Christian faith and the God who has given us freedom, God who gives us free life and guides us by His commands, the God who has given us new life in His Son. It's that faith that we also confess together as we join in the Apostles' Creed, using the words handed down to us by the saints of old, and which is still confessed today by God's people throughout the world. We join in confessing our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We now go to Josh Britton's house, where he will guide us in one of our hymns of faith, the faith that Martin Luther shared as he wrote the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," as he drew that from Scripture, from Psalm 46.
Well, good morning, Trinity. We're about to sing arguably one of the most well-known hymns in all of Lutheran hymnody. But really quick, I just wanted to take a second just to talk through where this hymn was birthed from and the place it came out of, because the songwriter experienced much of the same conditions and circumstances that we're going through today. You see, Luther wasn't somebody who was far removed from things like death and plague and persecution. Luther being somebody who lost some of his own children from sickness and illness, had lots of hardships, was wanted by the government. Close friends to him were persecuted, thrown in jail, beaten up, even killed. But the fact is, Luther wrote this out of a place of utter dependency and reliance on God, that God is his strength, God is fighting for him, God is the one who moves and provides stability, even amidst the most crazy circumstances of life. So as we sing this today, I want to invite you to try out a little chorus, and it goes like this.
'Cause you're our strong and mighty God. You reign over us. Yes, you fight for us. You're our strong and mighty God. You reign over us. Yes, you fight for us.
Because that's the truth. It's the same truth that Luther wrote this hymn out of, Psalm 46, where a lot of these words were penned. It's the same song that David was singing. So let's sing this morning. I invite you to join me and sing.
God is a mighty fortress. And so good that we have people like Josh and other musicians here that can help lead us in that reminder and that praise we give to God. Out of all, because of everything that he's done, including in this moment of worship we have, we lift our hearts and our voices with our gratitude because of everything that God has done for us. And so right now we're going to enter into a time of prayer where we continue to lift our hearts and our voices in lifting up the things that weigh on our hearts, the praise that's on there, but as the requests that we have, the struggles we have as well. And one way we like to use to do this is using the ACTS acronym. So it stands for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. Supplication isn't a word that we use a whole lot right now. It's a word that means we're asking God to supply. Asking God to supply our needs, to answer our prayers. And we pray that prayer in faith, knowing, being certain that God hears our prayers, because he promises, and God keeps his promises. So let's call on our God who is faithful and gives us freedom that we've been hearing about today. Let's call on his name now. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for all that you do for us, all that you have done for us. You give us a new day, a day filled with light, a day filled with beauty and blessing. God, thank you for the gift of grace, a fresh start with you, a fresh start with so many other people, Lord. Help us to use this fresh start, use our freedom to serve the people that that we're with, whether they're sharing a house or sharing messages on social media or sharing time in some other way. Lord, thank you for these gifts, these benefits. Lord, we confess that we don't always use your blessings to honor you or to serve others. Lord, sometimes we hold on tight to the blessings you give and we don't use them at all, or we use them only for ourselves. God, as we thank you for freedom, Lord, we're also reminded of the fact that all the ways that we use our freedom only for ourselves, only to chase after the things that we think are important, that chase after the things that we put in front of you. And so we move from freedom right back into the darkness and chains of sin. So Lord, forgive us. Set us free. Remind us of the depth of your love for us, the work that you did in going on the cross and coming out of the empty tomb, conquering over everything that seeks to separate us from you and hold us down. Jesus, help us to live in freedom, but to use that freedom and love for you and serving those around us. Jesus, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for how you give us your presence. You give us power. You give us promises. You give us your word that's calm, that calms the storm, but also that calls us to be still and find our rest in you. Thank you for these words. Thank you for the words about freedom and life and love. And so, Lord, throughout all this, we pray that you would comfort us. Lord, that you would give us your aid, bring relief to all who are suffering, that you would be present with those who grieve, and that they would find their hope in your resurrection, and those who suffer would find their healing in your name. Lord, watch over all who are in harm's way, serving in hospitals, in communities, in all kinds of different ways that are essential. Jesus, watch over these workers. Give them protection. Give them blessing. And let them return safely home to their loved ones in peace to find rest. Lord, and for all those who are serving and who are doing so much, Lord, give them rest in their souls as well from everything that they've seen, everything that has happened around them. Lord, help them to know that you were present in all of those moments, and help them to know the peace that only comes from you. Help them to walk and to work through those things and to know that you are with them every step. Jesus, show us as your people, whether we're essential or when we're sheltering in place, help us to find ways to support those who have to be out and about. Help us to find ways to support those who are anxious, who are wrapped in fear. God, answer our fear with your love. Answer our despair with your faith that you give us as a gift. God, help us to stand strong in that faith, knowing that you hear our prayers, knowing that you hear our confession, knowing that even as we adore you, God, we love you, it's nowhere near as much as you love us. So Lord, we turn to you now, praying the prayer that you teach your people. And the words will be on the screen. We pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, as God hears our prayers and our praises, he reinforces that the whole point of worship is to hear from him. And so we get to hear from him through song and through word, and those words are coming to you two times. Through Bree singing a song of blessing, and through Pastor Justin following that, speaking a blessing over you to remind you that in Jesus, you are doubly blessed. Let's go to them now.
Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his I do pray that you were blessed by that blessing and that we continue to be anchored into the teachings of Jesus together, because there's so much freedom there. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen, and have a great week. And kids, what are we doing now?
Let's go to Mrs. Carter's house for the children's message.
Bring it in, team. Good morning, boys and girls. How many of you have ever played on a sports team before? Well, when I was in high school, I really loved playing softball. This is one of my game balls from my senior year because I was a pitcher and I really loved my coaches. This is a picture of me with my assistant coach and the head coach from my senior year after we won a championship. The female coach happened to be my sister, and the head coach, well, he's my dad. Like I said, I really loved my coaches. So what exactly does a coach do? Well, they lead, they encourage, and they make sure that everyone is having fun and staying safe. But the most important job of a coach is that they teach the players what the rules are of the game and how to play it. For example, in softball, you can only have 9 players on the field. And just like in baseball, you're supposed to run the bases in a certain direction. Do you like it when people don't follow the rules? Isn't it really frustrating? Well, we are all part of God's team, and he is our coach. And God has given us rules or laws that we should follow as well, the Ten Commandments. Now, the Ten Commandments are there to guide us, but they can be summed up into 2 main points. That first, we should love God, our coach, and second, that we should love our neighbors, our teammates. And God just isn't sitting back waiting for us to screw up so that he can punish us and yell at us. But sometimes coaches have to be a little hard on their players so that they can continue to do their best and work really hard. But sometimes we get benched. Now, getting benched is like having a timeout. And when you get benched, it's probably because you either aren't doing your very best or you aren't following the coach's rules. When we don't follow directions and disobey rules or laws, or when we make bad choices, we get this feeling in the very bottom of our stomachs because we know that we aren't doing our best. Well, that feeling is like getting benched because we weren't listening to our coach's rules. Just because we are on the team doesn't mean we get to do whatever we want. We still have to try to do our best for ourselves, our coaches, and for our teammates, and that means listening to the coach and following their rules. But do we keep all the rules? No, only Jesus was able to do that, and he kept all of them perfectly on our behalf. But we still know the rules. We know what's right and what's wrong. And so when we get that feeling in the bottom of our stomach, when we get benched, we need to ask ourselves, am I loving God? Am I loving my neighbors? And if we can't say that we are, well, then we need to ask for forgiveness because we aren't following God's rules. When we do that, God, our coach, loves us. He shows us forgiveness and he encourages us to get right back into the game, to learn from our mistakes, and to do our best to follow his rules. So listen to your coach, trust him, and follow his rules. And if you do get benched, well, ask for forgiveness. Let's say a prayer to thank God for being such an awesome coach. Let's do a repeat after me prayer. So fold your hands, bow your head, and repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for being an awesome coach. Help me to be an awesome player. Help me to learn your rules and follow them to the best of my abilities. And if I do make mistakes, help me ask for forgiveness. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to follow the rules for me so that I can learn to be an awesome player like him. In your name we pray, Amen. All right, boys and girls, it's time to play. Go get 'em. Have a great rest of your day.